Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And I, of course, want you to holler at me, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You afraid to call me? Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I want all your questions, comments, concerns. Hit a brother up. You got me and I got you. That's how I operate here. Also, you can go to the Smooth Drama Facebook page, Twitter, wherever. If you just Google Smooth Drama, and if you find me, add us, hit us up, and we'll hit you back because we built like that. Nice guy. And also, you can jump up in the chat room. Holler if you hear me. Say something. Say hey. Anyway, in the meantime, once again, shout out to my co-host. He tried to call in. We had technical difficulty. So I don't know if he's being adversely affected by his vagina-eating accident. It may be. Because as it is warm, so he feels a little bit better, and the neck sprain is not quite as bad. But every now and again, he might develop a little pain. We all give a shout out to Mr. J that he's always feeling better. That's just funny for no reason whatsoever. I know. Folks are like, that's just wrong, vagina eating accident. But it's just funny. I think it's funny. I'm sure he's thinking of ways to stab me. But I'm too far away. But I'm sure he's trying to digitally stab me. I know it's coming. I don't know when, because we're born on the same day, so I know how he thinks. So I know he's trying to stab me. But Mr. J, I love you, man. With all my heart and soul, no homo. Anyway, I saw something on social media that I couldn't get past. Somebody posted, I'm tired of mobbing in the streets. And I'm like, mobbing in the streets? Like, what? What is mobbing in the streets? So, of course, I'm the kind of guy that I look stuff up like that because I'm just dumb like that. I don't know. So I looked it up. It didn't exist on Wikipedia. So, of course, okay, white people, they don't mob in the street. Like when white people talk about mobbing in the street, that means there's a bunch of them and they're probably going to hang somebody black. Well, back in the days, that's how that happened. So they wouldn't put that in the dictionary or on Wikipedia or whatnot, because then they have to cop to their history of lynching and mobbing in the streets. So technically that doesn't exist for people of Caucasian descent. So I went to our so-called Urban Dictionary. I guess that's for black folks. And the Urban Dictionary had mobbing in the streets. Well, not mobbing in the streets, but just mobbing. Let me tell you what mobbing is. Mobbing is driving around with your friends and or bitches. Yeah, I said it, quote unquote. Bumping music, having a good time, and hopefully picking up some more bitches. All right. I unquote. And they use a sentence where it says, Chase and I went mobbing last night. and picked up some hoes. So, if you were that person, or you're one of those people who talking about, yeah, I be mobbing, I guess that's what it is. So if somebody, if you're a listener, somebody tells you they were mobbing in the streets, they were driving around with their friends and or bitches, hopefully trying to pick up some more bitches. I just had to say that. It has nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about tonight, but I just saw it and I just thought, you know, mobbing in the streets. If you're a grown person and you're mobbing in the streets, you're stupid. That was it. That was my social commentary for the night. I don't even think I'm gonna say anything else. I think I'm done. All right, show's over. No, actually, I do want to talk about punk ass George Zimmerman. I know some of y'all may have saw in the news his punk ass came out. It was like, I got punched in the face. You know, a guy hit me because I was talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting. And basically what it was, and first I have to start out by saying that how did he only get punched? I'm like, one, he was in Florida. So he's in Florida, a Florida restaurant. If you're a black man, you're in danger when George Zimmerman is around. You have the right to shoot him because he will indiscriminately follow you and chase you down for no reason and shoot and kill you just because you're black. Not that you committed a crime or anything and don't wear a hoodie or eating candy or a drink, because then you're really I'm like, he punched him. Eddie, shout out to Eddie in Florida. Eddie ran up on Zimmerman, who was in the Gators Riverside Grill. He complimented another customer's Confederate flag tattoo. And the dude recognized him and said, yo, are you that George Zimmerman who shot Trayvon Martin? He showed his ID to the, you know, he's flossing like, yeah, that's me. And at that point, they say, according to Zimmerman, a large fat man approached, identified only as Eddie, who said, oh, you bragging about that? And you know, Eddie punched him. Period. Now, they say that Eddie commanded him to leave the restaurant and called him an N-word lover. And, you know, Zimmerman said, he said, I'm not looking for any trouble. And then the man slugged him in his face and told him he's going to kill him. And Eddie got on the Harley Davidson and left. And it apparently was a white man with a blonde beard. So special, well, I don't know if I can say special shout out to Eddie, because he called, you know, he called him an N-word lover. Yeah. That's really weird. But, you know, it's too bad he didn't shoot him. Maybe that would have helped the situation out. I don't know if anybody else thinks so. I think that maybe if Eddie would have shot George Zimmerman, he would have got away with it because he was a white man. So you figure a white man can shoot a Mexican and get away with it, right? I mean, we are talking about like let's think about it for a second. Donald Trump just came out and said, hey, I'll shoot Hillary Clinton and her cabinet. And I was like, woo, that sounds good. Not that that sounds good, but there's a precedent to that. Some of you who don't know, the early founding fathers, they used to duel quite a bit, actually. And so there wasn't no words in, just talking. See, because I think there's some misconceptions about the founding fathers and how gangster they really were. Because, dudes throw out the words, I'm a gangster, I'm a thug, a little too loosely for my taste. For example, Andrew Jackson, before he was president in 1829, he killed Charles Dickinson in a duel. In 1806, it didn't hurt his presidency or anything. They had to duel because duels were legal then. I don't know if they're really illegal right now. Aside from your Ten Commandments, but basically him and Charles Dickinson, they fired on each other, and Andrew Jackson, according to the accounts, cheated. Dickinson shot him in the chest, and Andrew Jackson shot and misfired, and so it should have been over. But instead, he's like, nah, he cocked it and shot again and killed Dickinson. So, one, you don't have to be president to be able to kill somebody. So, not that Eddie was running for president or anything like that, but if you're out there listening, Eddie, you could still be president and kill George Zimmerman. He's not really that famous and he's not really that important. And if you don't believe that, you think that, I can kill somebody famous and not be able to run for president, hey. 1804, then Vice President Aaron Burr killed one of the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, in 1804. Shot him dead. They had a duel. He shot him and killed him. He was Vice President. Now, I don't know if y'all remember a few years back when Dick Cheney in that hunting accident, when he shot Homie in the face. I never thought that was an accident. I always thought, hey, dude was talking a little bit. He was talking outside his neck, and Dick Cheney let him know, hey, this real gangsters here. See, because those are the real gangsters. Dudes who's claiming streets that they don't own, mobbing in the street looking for bitches. And all that foolishness. Those aren't gangsters. Dudes who can say, hey, go wipe out that country. That's gangster. Dudes who have duels, and this is to all the fake gangsters out there, the ones who only kill people who look like them and only kill innocents because they don't shoot each other. Look, y'all can have duels. Have a duel. Be in some place where, hey, 10 steps, turn around, or you can just have somebody like draw. They like yell it out on the loudspeaker. go, and then you pull your gun and shoot. That way, you get the dude that you're trying to get. And for us, the world would be a tad bit better because, as my Uncle Larry once famously said to me, nobody else heard it, maybe if they start shooting each other, they aim right, maybe I should train them so they can shoot better, then it'll be a little bit better world. Now, I'm not advocating more black-on-black violence, but I'm going to guess, like, when they talked about it's a deterrent with the nuclear weapons, if there was a mechanism where you had to duel and dueling was legal and dudes challenged you to a duel, a lot of these cats, you know, these hardcore thugs with these drive-by shooting muscles where they shoot and kill everybody, if they had to, like, actually face off against the guy that you had a grievance with and you had to handle it, they'd be thinking, like, well, shit, is it really worth it? You know, maybe you'd be better off mobbing in the street looking for bitches as opposed to shooting and killing innocent folks trying to get whoever the enemy is. Identify the enemy. But I'm sidetracked here because, once again, you know, Trump said, hey, I'll shoot at Hillary and her advisors and her cabinet. Kill them all. And, you know, folks was like, oh, but he's got an argument because, according to historical law here in the United States, you can do that type stuff. And it's all good. Think about it. It might help us all because, you know, we always talk about the lesser of two evils. Maybe we can get rid of the evil. In the meantime, I'm going on break because that went sideways. This is Raphael Sadiq. Sometimes.
Let me tell you about my day. It's such a very long day. It started around 7. I can hear a pray. That's why I love Sunday morning. Even when it was cold, there was always something burning. That was good for my soul. As I walked through the yard, I could feel your presence, giving me the time of my life and showered me with life's lessons. Now I know what they mean when they say keep your head to the sky and don't be too quick to fit in, and don't feel you have to try to throw the strength. So strange it is, you know it really works inside. They'll make you cry sometimes. I'm so proud to see the young man I came to be. With lifelong troubles, you kept a smile on my face. And as I'm looking all around me, I think, how can I ever repay you? Mama was worth more than gold, and she always tried to tell me the world is strange, so strange. You know it really hurts inside, yeah. And no matter how good you are, the people you know, they'll make you cry sometimes, yeah. There's been a few days when people truly let me down. I say crucial things just to bring me down, and they will rise in Jesus just for their own self-motives and greed. But I guess it ain't nothing new. It's something I gotta go through. Just for the strange, so strange it is. You know, and it hurts sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. No matter how good you are, the people you know, they'll make you cry sometimes, yeah. Can I take before I
Sometimes, because you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Anyway, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You in that chat room. You want to holler at me, get at me. In the meantime, hey, if you want some reparations, black folks, it is here. Reparations is here. Y'all hear me? I'm going to say it once again. Reparations is here on the count of three. One, two, three. Reparations is here. Yeah, who not clap for reparations? Anyway, there is a reparations website that was created by a conceptual art project, and it's a social experiment by a Seattle-based artist, Natasha Marin. Shout out to Natasha. Basically, the website is what it is. It aims to provide people of color with the assistance they need to get through the hurdles of daily life. So basically, a person of color, not of Caucasian color, nothing against y'all, but no, y'all don't get to upload. Just because. I'm just saying. Anyway, a person of color uploads a request, and anyone able to fulfill it can do so with the click of a button. Also, individuals can upload offerings to the website, listing goods or services that they are ready and willing to offer to those in need. The project also gives people of color a space to ask for help and a way for white individuals to counteract their privilege with an act of kindness. And so, as explained by the website, what if a stranger restored your belief in humanity, if only for a moment, by supporting you and allowing you to claim something you need in a material way? I invite people of color to ask for what we need to feel better, be happier, be more productive by posting in this space. These may be both material and immaterial requests. I also invite people who identify as white to offer services or contributions to people of color in need of time, energy, substantive care, and support. And they say, of course, you don't have to be white to fulfill a request. You know, anybody can do it. So, yeah, you guys look up that reparations website. And if you got a request, feel free to upload what you want. Upload your request. Or if you're an individual who is interested in helping someone, you can upload your services and what you're willing to offer to someone. It's a beautiful website. So Just go to the reparations website. Just Google it, and it'll come up, and you will have a chance to help somebody or be helped. So, I mean, it's not reparations, but it's a cool idea. So shout out to Natasha Marin. Some beautiful shit there. It's kind of awesome. I shouldn't cuss much. Y'all think I cuss too much, you know, saying the S word and the F word and all that. I know I got carried away saying the B word in the last segment, but it was for the purposes of talking about mobbing. Anyway, now speaking of reparations and helping those who need help, I don't know if y'all know, but there was a payment last week to Iran in the sum of $400 million. And we're not talking about monopoly money either. We are talking about $400 million cash payment to Iran. They said it was not a ransom to free four Americans being held in Tehran. They said it was coincidental. And now that $400 million cash payment is part of a $1.7 billion settlement to Iran for an outstanding legal dispute that had been before an international tribunal in The Hague, according to the State Department spokesman John Kirby. Now, he goes on to say some bullshit like, see, I gotta go cursing again. As we've made clear, the negotiations over the settlement of an outstanding claim at the Hague Tribunal were completely separate from the discussions about returning our American citizens home, Kirby said in a statement. Not only were the two negotiations separate, but they were conducted by different teams on each side, including in the case of the Hague claim, by technical experts involved in these negotiations for many years. Now, we're talking about $400 million in cash, and they released four Americans, which comes out to $100 million a person. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, hold on a sec. I mean, I thought we was in debt. Where did they get $400 million to give to Iran? Ain't we enemies with Iran? I thought they was the enemy. You see how that goes? The enemy gets $400 million, but they will not bail your ass out for your student loan. Like I talked about the story in New Jersey. The woman's son died, and she couldn't get the student loan. She couldn't get the student loan forgiven. State of New Jersey. But you can give the enemy, so-called enemy, you know, they Muslims, they want to kill us, they want to do all this to us. You give them $400 million, and coincidentally, because it was totally different negotiations, of course, we get four Americans back. $100 million. Now, $400 million in cash to a country we don't like. How many Americans are there? It's about 350 million Americans. We couldn't use some of that money. I mean, since we throwing out cash and they got 1.7 billion to give to Iran over a legal dispute. Now, see, when I talked about reparations before, look at that. We can't get reparations. Couldn't even get the mule. I'll take the mule and resell it. Damn it. I mean, it's not a mule. At least give me what's like the worst car out there. Them little Ford Escape or whatever. No, not Ford Escape. Ford Focus. Or some little Arrow, whatever. I mean, whatever the lowest end car is, give every black person who can trace their lineage here in the United States, they family was slaves, everybody get a Ford Focus or one of them cheap cars at least. At least. At least so, because we know we ain't going to get the 40 acres. We get that. But the mule would be a Ford Focus. You can give $1.7 billion to the enemy. Shit, what about us? I know, it's just, you know, asking for the what to call. But it just goes to show you how when we hear about enemies, And you hear about there's no money for stuff, but money goes somewhere that doesn't help the American people. This wasn't on the news. It wasn't something that was put out there like, yeah, we paid $400 million to Iran. Part of a settlement, so we gonna owe them another $707,000,000. Whoo! Yeah, I could have used some of that. I mean, we talking about too big to fail, you know. You should knock off everybody's student loans at the least. Or credit card debt, all that should be taken off. But we can't get that because, you know, once again, we are not worthy. And I saw something. Your president. Whoo. I mean, and they lauded him for it. And I'm going to say I'm jealous. I'm a black man, and I'm jealous. President Obama wrote an essay about feminism, and it was lauded as something that every man needs to read. He wrote about the negative impact rigid gender stereotypes have on people of all gender identities, racial identities, and sexual identities, and the special importance of 21st century feminism in an election year in which Democrats have nominated a woman to be president and Republicans have nominated the misogynist Cheeto, as he called it. And he says, he called on men to join the cause. And I quote your president, it is absolutely men's responsibility to fight sexism too. And as spouses and partners and boyfriends, we need to work hard and be deliberate about creating truly equal relationships. And he talks about the progress we've made over the past 100 years in the United States. But of course, it doesn't mean we've reached gender equality. And he still says that we are still far from it in many respects. We still have a notable gender wage gap, which disproportionately impacts women of color. Sexual violence against women and men remains underreported, and women of all colors remain underrepresented in the highest levels of government, business, and tech. Now, if you've listened to this show before, you know, I mean, it's not hate. It's just, there's just facts, certain things that happen. And I've been saying for shit forever. I can't even remember when I started saying it, because I've said it so much and gonna keep saying it. You know, he had said anything. It was like my beef with Michael Jordan. Never said anything about violence, you know, that came with his shoes. But cops get shot. He came out. Oh, the violence is too much because it looked good. I'm going to donate. And it helps him because, oh, I'm supporting the cops. Not the black people. The cops. Senseless violence against the cops. First and foremost, you know, those guys that are oppressing us and shooting us indiscriminately for traffic tickets, whatnot. But I digress. POTUS, Barack Obama, your president, comes out and he writes this stuff, an essay about feminism. I'm like, you know, homie, I applaud that. I really, really applaud that. But once again, black men, black people. Yes, everybody uses it. Well, he's not the president of black people. He's the president of the United States. I'm like, but damn, can we get an essay? I mean, I'm not talking about the homie Juan or Roberto. I'm down my essays. Shout out to my homie Cesar. But hey, it's not the essay I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can we get an essay talking about the negative impact that rigid stereotypes in racism and the importance of 21st century black positivity can have. Has had. Well, we can't say that because it's more of us getting killed under his presidency than hell. I don't even know. It's like you had none of this under Bush, both Bushes. But once again, I'm digressing. I'm just saying, can we fight for truly equal relationships race-wise? Can a guy who is not running for any damn thing say black once, write an essay about black folks? Something about black folks, any damn thing at this point. I'm begging every week, every month, every year for the cat to, hey, acknowledge us. What can we do? I mean, because if he says something, they'll listen. They maybe not now, but they will listen. Feminism. He wrote an essay on feminism. I'm just going to say that I'm jealous. I'm very, very jealous. Sorry, Pure Habit. I hope you can hear me now. I am very jealous. That's it. That's it. I'm going on break. This is the Hugh Copters.
Chalk outline round it, 'cause the bird with the wire that I just
together you got smooth drummer.
Alright, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was the homies, the Hugh Copter. You know, helicopters be flying around. No? Okay. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. I got over my jealousy. I'm not jealous no more until tomorrow. Or when I get off this show, and then I'll be jealous again. I'm getting over it. I got my boogie on during the break, and I'm not going to talk about your president no more. I'm actually going to talk about somebody like your president who in South Africa. Because these things... And the funny thing about it is these things are done around the world the exact same way. The game plan never changes. They just change the country. So South Africa. Musa Memene, who is the leader of the Democratic Alliance. He's supposedly helped overturn its image as a party for wealthy whites, and he called the vote that voted him in as a historic break with the past that could bring the DA into national government in 2019. And because the ANC, which was the party of Nelson Mandela, which was African National Congress, it lost its majorities in Johannesburg, and the symbolic Nelson Mandela Bay and the municipality that is home to the capital Pretoria in its biggest ever election loss, and that because their party has dominated South Africa since the end of apartheid, supposedly this election, and which makes the Democratic Alliance headed by Musa Memene as a fatal blow to President Jacob Zuma. He's supposed to lead the coalition government here. Why were people angry? Well, Super Negro, Memene, however I pronounce his name, doesn't matter. He proclaimed it's a non-racial error after the vote wins. You know, sitting up there, they're like in South Africa. Now, I mean, we talk about racism here, but you know, South Africa, they got that special apartheid racism that lingers around. It's like that great, well, I won't say that it's like that uncle that was like cock strong that you never mess with because you knew he was dangerous. That's the kind of racism that they have over in South Africa. So this cat is like, well, hey, this turnout, this vote means that racism, the non-racial error, it's here. Now, I don't know if y'all remember that, but like roughly eight years ago, we kind of heard that, the country's healing itself. Racism is kind of going away. We got a black president. Not that South Africa hasn't had a black president, because they had Nelson Mandela, but, you know, it still was a pretty dangerous place for black folks. Well, still is. They still don't have anything going positive there. Not like talking about it. for the majority of the people. Of course, the people who are angry about the corruption, the unemployment, and the poor basic services, you know, he comes out and says it's an incredible moment for our country. And the people are mad because they feel like he's a figurehead controlled by the whites. Because basically, all they did was they changed the person at the top of the organization. All the racist people who've been running the organization forever are still there. It just, he's on top. Now, once again, it may sound familiar where, and I know a lot of folks, it's sacrilege to some people say, oh, the Democrats are racist, but, you know, and the Republicans, well, no, I mean, generally, it's me saying Democrats and Republicans are the same. I mean, just like back in the days, the Republicans were fighting to free the slaves, and the Democrats were slaveholders. And now it's reversed, and everybody's talking about how bad the Republicans are, and the Democrats are the saviors. Because first, they elected a black man. And second, now they're nominating a woman, and it's like, woo, you're going to have a woman president, but she's not great. She's not anybody that the people even love. But I digress. We talk about South Africa. Same thing. You have a quote unquote another young black savior. Gonna put him up there. The non-racial era is here. Africa for the Africans. We love everybody. And they gonna talk about promoting change because this is a historically white organization, and now there's a black man in charge. So see. Progress is happening. So basically all that means is that the cops, once he's in power and his party's in power, that means the cops are going to really start killing the South Africans, youth in the streets. The women are really not safe now. I mean, I'll of course be keeping track. And I challenge you, the listener, keep track, because I'm a guess by 2019, 2020, they'll be talking about all the crazy violence in South Africa. And if you don't believe that it's not connected, think of it like this. There are Black Lives Matter protests over there in South Africa. So We're connected. They are looking at what's happening with us. And the challenge is for us to look at them over there and see that they are us and we are them. And whatever happens to us, same thing happens to them. Just like we got a black president who still 8 years later has not written anything for us or said anything about black folks. They're about to get that same thing. Just throwing that out there. Also, changing up, Tricknology. New York City has a plan to keep black kids in school and out of jail. On the surface, that sounds lovely. You know, as someone who works in the school system, you know, when you hear this stuff, it's like, man, that's awesome. But let me give you the details on it first. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who's put forth a proposal to ban school suspensions for students in kindergarten through second grade. So what he's going to do is in-school suspensions. Out here in California, we call it restorative justice. It's a California staple. Restorative justice just means that you train school safety agents who are there to de-escalate, because they go through de-escalation training, and they are to keep those kids, and they do the in-school suspension so the kids don't go home. So on the surface, it sounds like a win-win. But in the situations that I've seen, a lot of those kids are throwaway kids, as I call them, because they're not in class. They're in the de-escalation zone. In our case, it's called OCR, where they sit there with the escalation specialist and they talk it through. But there's not any work being done. And from my personal observations over the years, those kids they learn nothing in class because they like going to OCR and chilling and not having to do work or anything like that, or take a break, as it's called. So, one, the school keeps their money, and the kids don't graduate or anything, and it doesn't really count against their statistics because they don't count those kids, because they put them in a special category. I can't remember what the category is, but they're in a special category, so they don't count. And yeah, you have kids that don't graduate, and because there's no failing now, you're promoted even though you didn't pass. So you'll have a lot of kids in the school system who just keep going on until they get to high school, and then they fail and drop out. Well, they don't drop out because they can stay in school and eat and all that, but they don't learn anything. Now, when you think about that for a second, you say, okay, so, I mean, but this keeps the kids from the streets, and they don't go to juvenile hall or whatnot. But, you know, eventually they get to high school, they can't pass the standardized test, and so you're delaying the inevitable. But the school system continues to get paid. It's one of those minor details. So they're doing it here in Cali, and they're going to be doing it in New York. Basically, preparing your kids once again for jail. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production, and I'm out. I'll see y'all next week. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.